And welcome to another special edition of the Hashtag AmWriting podcast, The Working Bookshelf, aka Hashtag AmReading While Writing. No, Hashtag AmReading About Writing. But you can read while writing, I mean, if you can do that. I think that would be hard. Okay, sorry. I am KJ Delatonia, New York Times bestselling author of The Chicken Sisters and How to Be a Happier Parent, and a former editor at The Times.
I am laughing at my friend KJ, and I'm Jenny Nash. I'm an author, a book coach, an entrepreneur, and creator of the Book Coach Certification Program at Author Accelerator.
In every episode of this series, Jenny and I will discuss and debate a pair of popular books on writing, focusing on a specific topic like structure, editing, creativity, characterization, productivity, things like that.
We're going to tell you why these books are our favorites, then engage in heated debate over which is better in our Fight Me segment before we get sidetracked into a discussion on the topic itself, which always happens.
The result will be our usual actionable, inspirational advice that will help you get your work done, whether you're just getting started, changing genres, or you're a seasoned pro.
So today we're talking about books that you turn to when you want to feel less alone as a writer, and we refer to them as writer comfort reads. And the book that I am championing today is the beloved classic Bird by Bird by Anne Lamott.
Yeah. Hard to argue with that one. I went back and forth between Stephen King's On Writing, which everyone knows that I love, and I absolutely do. But in the end, for pure solid comfort, I just had to go with Carolyn C's Making a Literary Life. I adore this book. It's a book of my heart. It came out in 2002. I probably bought it about then. So that is, I probably bought it about 5 years later. So this has been like sort of with me from the very beginning of my writing career. And I love it.
Well, and I love that you said that, because what we're actually doing here on this mini series is talking about the books that we love and that we return to. And that's what's so magical about books, is that they are there for you throughout. I mean, I'm a huge fan of actual hardback books you can hold in your hand, because I can look at the cover and just, that book can bring me comfort even just looking at the cover of it.
Absolutely.
I actually saw a post the other day on Facebook where somebody had posted for some reason that old cover of A Wrinkle in Time. It's like the book I had as a child, you know, and you're just like,
yeah, the one with like the yellow and the,
yes.
Yeah, I have that one too.
With the rainbow and the, yeah. And you just feel the surge of love for the book. And for writers, you know, we talk about the working bookshelf, and for writers, books are the thing, you know, and we go back to them again and again and again and again. And, you know, we talk about dog earing. I mean, my copy of Bird by Bird is just so roughed up, and it's underlined, and it's, you know, at different times I've seen different things and noticed different things and loved different things. And
yeah, I couldn't find mine. I thought it was up here, but I haven't. Oh, actually, no, that's something else. Yep. No, I couldn't find mine, but I know it's here somewhere.
Right. And just being able to hold these books in your hand and return them again and again is so comforting. So what do you find comforting about Making a Literary Life?
So I went back and reread most of it, which was a wonderful, wonderful experience. So it's all kinds of things, but at the heart, what I found most comforting about it is the sheer solid generosity of this book. It is generously giving to the reader, and it is also about generously giving to others. It's being a part of a literary community. So we've talked about a ton of books that were about, you know, editing and productivity and how to do things better. This is about how to be a better literary citizen as well as a better writer. I mean, there's plenty in here about writing, but what's really the core of this is, if you feel like you don't have a writing community, the subtitle is Advice for Writers and Other Dreamers, but it's the title, Making a Literary Life. So if you feel like you don't have a community, this is an instruction manual on building one. It's a little out of date because it just doesn't, you know, talks about email, but, you know, social media didn't exist. So, but you can take the advice and extrapolate. If you extrapolate that same generous attitude towards your social media usage, you're going to have a literary community very quickly.
Well, that, and that idea gets at the root of something that I think every writer struggles with, which is this scarcity mindset. Like, oh, if my friend gets an agent, I'm not going to get an agent. Or if my friend gets a book deal when she's 22 years old, you know, I've lost because I didn't get mine until I was 33. Or, you know, like the whole sort of competitive aspect of what we do. It, you know, we're human and it's impossible not to sometimes feel that way or do that. But I have found without a doubt that the writing community or the publishing community, whatever you want to call it at large, is so generous and warm and uplifting on an individual case, you know, person by person basis. If we look collectively sometimes at it, there's exclusions and problems and whatever, but I'm just talking about individuals that you might meet.
Yes.
And the idea of generosity and uplifting, and that there's room for all the people and all the stories, and whoever is out there listening that doesn't feel like they're part of that, there's room for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's just, I mean, there's welcoming room, you know, there's joyful room. There's so much. But you know, you have to work for it. Like you need to do things. It's not just something you can step into. And so what I love about this is that she's just so she's focused on stuff that nobody else writes about, like feeling like a writer. And I mean, people talk about believing in yourself as a writer, but they're really talking about like this part of it. And she's talking more like about this part of it, like what kind of hat does a, if you, and when you imagine yourself as a writer, she's like, I imagine I'm wearing a cape, so I'm gonna get a cape. You know, and then she takes a bunch of famous writer and she's like, I think, you know, Amy Tan must have imagined that a writer carried around two tiny dogs in her handbag because that's what she does. Or somebody else has bodyguards. Maya Angelou had bodyguards. She's like, Maya Angelou clearly said, you know, I'm gonna get me some bodyguards. And that's just how awesome is that, right? And I love her I love when she says, when you look at that cool author photo, that person doesn't just wander around in that hat. Or maybe they do, but it's because they thought about it. They thought, I know, writers wear, you know, this hat. And I think we all feel like, well, I have to work for it, but everybody else just does it naturally.
Right. And it's the kind of work you're talking about, not words on the page, not sitting at the desk doing the thing. That being in a literary citizen part too. Like, this book was written before social media was really a giant thing, I would say.
It wasn't. I mean, 2002 wasn't a thing at all.
It wasn't a thing at all, right? And now I sometimes can see this play out. There's people on the internet who you can follow and encounter who are you can tell they're good literary citizens just by their behavior and what they do. And then there's people who are sort of always shouting about their work or their book, or like, buy my thing, or I have a new book, or cover reveal, or oh my gosh, you guys, this is happening. You know, and there's time and space for those things. But I think to spend most of your time lifting other people up, leaving reviews for authors that you love. You know, Dan Blank often talks about, Dan Blank at We Grow Media, who is friends of both of ours. He often talks about, if you love a book, write to the author. You know, they want to hear that. And you forget that sometimes. Even famous big deal authors want to hear that. That's what
that's part of her deal, right? She says your job as a writer is 1,000 words a day. And one, I think she calls them graceful notes or gracious.
Yeah, notes. I think that's right.
Yeah, she's got a funny little phrase for them. Charming note, one charming note. I think she wants you to do a charming note every day, which would be even easier now because you can do a charming email or a charming DM.
Right, and that's the whole idea. People get freaked out about building platform or, you know, building an audience or blah, blah, blah. And it's really just being a good literary citizen.
Yeah. And you do it before you're asking for anything, you know? You start when you don't want... I mean, you are asking for something. You're saying, you know, please see me as part of your world. That's not a lot. You're not saying, please blurb my book. Please read my, 100,000-word manuscript. Please... invite me over for coffee so we can talk about our careers. You're not saying that. You're saying, you know, thank you. I really enjoyed your book.
Right. Or thank you. I really enjoyed the podcast you were on. Or, you know, and it makes such a massively big difference when you then want to actually approach somebody that for a favor, which is completely fine. You know, the world works by relationship and networking, but the difference, like, I've built a lot of relationships by being a super fan of people and retweeting everything that they tweet and thanking them constantly for the thing. I don't want to say who I'm doing this to right now because I'm embarrassed, but there is somebody that I'm doing this to right now a little bit consciously because I loved their book and I kind of want to be their best friend. And so the way that I'm starting that is just by responding to the things they do. And it's funny because you feel a little bit like, I don't know, it feels awkward sometimes, but then that person often will write you back and say, thank you so much for all the retweets. It's so awesome. Or I'm so glad that you enjoyed the blah, blah, blah. And that's being a literary citizen. It's just being engaged with what people are actually doing and, you know, honestly and happily engaged with what they're doing.
And the funny thing is that she quotes Bird by Bird in here.
She does? I didn't.
Yeah, I found it the other day. A little bit. She even a little bit kind of disagrees.
Wait, when was Bird by Bird published?
I think it was the year before.
Oh my gosh, 1994.
Wow.
I didn't realize that. Well, yeah, 1994. So let's talk about Bird by Bird because what you just said is actually very interesting to me that she disagrees with some things because there are a lot of things in Bird by Bird that I, as a book coach and a trainer of book coaches, that I disagree with as well. And yet I adore this book. And I think that's a really interesting thing. So some of the things I disagree with are some of the famous things from this book, like the shitty first draft. I feel like Anne Lamott invented that idea, even though I know she didn't. But the way she says it, the way she talks about it, everybody pins it to her. And the shitty first draft can be an awesome thing for some people in some places at some times, but it's also often a massive waste of time. And a lot of what I teach and do is to get people to stop before they write a shitty first draft. So I mean, I know you have thoughts about that. So before I go on to the other things I disagree with, do you want to talk about that?
Well, I feel that I have reinterpreted the shitty first draft after writing a couple of genuine shitty first drafts in which there's, you know, 80,000 words of shitty first draft. I have decided that whether or not this is what Anne Lamott meant, this is going to be my interpretation of it, that I'm going to write an intentionally shitty first draft next time, by which I mean it's going to be like basically a first draft of pre-write. It's going to say, and here they get in the car and go to Los Angeles. I'm not going to get them into the car and do, like, I have a tendency to work out all those details on scenes that I don't end up needing. So I am going to, like, I'm basically going to not allow myself to use dialogue tags. You know, like, I'm going to be like, just, because I'm going to work out the core of the story and the emotional arc next time. I swear to God, it probably won't be easier, but maybe it will.
We'll probably talk about that in our next episode a little bit. But another thing that Anne Lamott famously talks about in Bird by Bird is that publishing is not the be-all and the end-all answer to everything, and not to hang your hat on being published and that it doesn't change very much for the writer. And I so deeply wish that I could believe that wholeheartedly, and there are days that I do. But there's a really big difference between somebody who toils for 40 years and doesn't get published and somebody who toils and does, right?
So. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that's a nice way to look at it, but I think most of us are doing this because we want to be heard.
Yeah.
And so the goal is to create something that is worthy of other people's attention. And yeah. If we don't achieve that, then, I mean, maybe that's not what you want of it, but I think most people do it. Yeah, Carolyn C. has a little bit, well, I think less so. She's pretty focused on, like, getting your, you know, getting editors' attentions and the variety of ways to go about that and courting them and how to respond to rejection. I mean, she's got this whole Aikido approach to responding to rejection. Do you remember that? Where when you get rejection, you're supposed to, like, thank them, like, immediately you sort of send it back and you say, you know, thank you.
Oh, it's instead of taking the energy, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that the negative energy, so it's like, at the same time as, you know, we all know the rule that, okay, you get this one rejection, it goes out to the next, to the next thing. Not in exactly the same form, because you almost certainly have to change it. But yeah, she's just like, you know, respond graciously. I mean, she has all these funny things like, you know, thank you for your bracing rejection. And, you know, thanks so much for the canned note. Maybe next time I'll get a real signature. Wouldn't that be cool? Maybe you don't want to do that. But it's really funny, her approach to it. And I think that she's right. I mean, I have been an editor. I have rejected many, 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 many people. Never liked doing it. Nobody, to my knowledge, likes doing it. But it, you know, it has to be done. And I certainly didn't mind if people were like, you know, thanks for reading or whatever. And it probably did help me to remember them.
So we were talking about what we don't like about Bird by Bird, but the things that I love about this book and that caused me to return to it again and again and again, and caused me to give it, you know, I've given this book to a lot of people and I pulled it off my shelf and given a copy, you know, just over the years to lots of people, because whenever somebody is feeling despair or doubt that they can't do this thing or they're not capable enough or that it's not for them, this book makes you feel as though it's possible to be a writer and to write a thing that other people want to read and to do this, have this dream come true. And she makes it not seem like pie in the sky, you know, wave a magic wand kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But there are things you can do, and you can, you know, she's got writing prompt ideas and her little lens, put a little frame around it idea, and how to do the work and how to respond to the radio call tag she talks about. KW something F. It's like, you know, are we allowed to say that word?
No, but I just kind of did. So,
but you know, it's just sorry, like,
people, it's KFK. It's KFKD. Yes. Is the way that she puts it. And, yeah. It's just the voice in your head that says, well, this sucks. Why are you even right? Nobody would be interested in this. All right. You thought that, well, come on, this character is so not coming across as real. Like, it's that.
And so that's what she is so brilliant at. And I just don't think there is anybody else that has been this brilliant at it, which is getting inside the head of a writer and mm-hmm. letting us see what's inside the head of a writer by letting us see what's inside her head. And it's the brilliance of a brilliant memoirist who can do that. And it's so hard to do what she pulls off. And yeah. It's quite similar to the Carolyn C. book in that way, in let me let you into what it's like to be this thing you want to be. And let me tell you the steps that you can take to do it. And in Bird by Bird's case, it's much more about the words on the page and getting mm-hmm. the work done and sitting in the chair. And you just feel, I often talk about this with the books you love, when you read a book and you feel like this writer knows me and sees me better than the people in my own family who I love and live with. Like when you feel that, like you were holding your book close to your heart, like when you feel that Like, this book loves me because it knows me. It's like, it gets me. That's why people love Bird by Bird, and why I love it is it makes you just smile. Like this thing that we all want to do and that we're all trying to do and that we all love is delightful and amazing and transformative and doable. And she just makes it feel like, yes, you can be this thing.
Does it mean anything that both of the books that we picked are as old as they are, or does it just mean we read them early in our career?
Such a good question. I
feel like the current stuff is more really crafty.
Well, I was going to say crafty and also what I would call tactical. Yeah. Tactics, like, here's what you do, here's how you... I'm thinking of the books, for example, we've not picked any books by Joanna Penn. And Joanna Penn has this whole suite of really great books for writers that
super
are
super useful,
very practical, right? It's like how to market a book, how to, I can't even think what they are right now. There's a ton of them, but it's, it feels like that's the direction writing books have gone is really.
I mean, Save the Cat Writes a Novel is super tactical. 2K to 10K is super tactical. So, you know, we've picked some in that direction, but yeah, I can't think of anything that.
I suspect that there's also an elephant in the room when somebody thinks, oh, I'm going to write an updated Bird by Bird, because it's like, well, there's Bird by Bird. It just got released in like, I don't know what it was, 20th anniversary, 30th anniversary edition. And oh, Elizabeth Gilbert's Big Magic sort of kind of did that. So like, I'm going to play in the sandbox.
Yeah, that's the closest thing I can come up with.
Right? Like, I'm going to play in the sandbox with Anne Lamott and Elizabeth Gilbert. I mean, a lot of people probably can't climb that mountain, you know? So I don't know.
The funny thing is, Anne Lamott was not, you know, uber successful when she wrote that book.
No, she was not.
And is it is it before? It's before Operating Instructions.
It was her.
Isn't it?
I think it was her first one. I'm just going to look here.
Her first memoir.
She had novels at that point. Oh gosh, yes. It was after Operating Instructions.
Was it? Okay.
It was her sixth book.
Yeah, I knew she had novels. So she had Operating Instructions and then she had Bird. Yeah, that of course she did because he's in it. Her son.
Yeah, yeah. So I feel like there's no winner in this round.
No, they're both winners.
Which is kind of what always happens with us, but that's okay. We love our
books. I feel that I totally thropped you with one of the bestseller code. I won that one.
That's probably true. You probably did. I will give you that for sure. I just think maybe I will claim to win this one, because I think if there's one book, you could only have one book, and it's about being a writer and living the writing life and getting the work done and becoming this thing that you want to be, I feel like it would have to be Bird by Bird.
You're probably right, but one thing I claim with this one is that fewer people are going to have read it.
That's
so
true.
I am giving you all more of a gift with this, because you probably haven't read it. It's got a voice that's not dissimilar to Anne Lamott, and a very similar sort of tone,
vibe, yeah,
humor, and yeah, I think it's one that maybe if you haven't read it, you can pick it up. And
I mean, that's a very fair point. You got a lot of points for that point, so
yeah.
I get that. But
so old comfort read, new comfort read that is not new.
That's right. So we can end by saying, if you're ever feeling that you need comfort, or you're feeling alone, or you're feeling like it's never going to happen, turn to the books that make you feel good about the work and let them comfort you so you can keep going.
And tell us what they are. I would love to hear in the Facebook group, which is it's just plain Am Writing on Facebook. or reply if you get our weekly emails, which you should. Let us know, what are your writer comfort reads? I would love to hear about it.
So next session episode, we're going to talk about editing, books that help, that we turn to for editing help.
All right. Well, that's it for this week. Until next week, keep your butt in the chair and your head in the game.
The Hashtag AmWriting podcast is produced by Andrew Perilla. Our intro music, aptly titled Unemployed Monday, was written and played by Max Cohen. Andrew and Max were paid for their time and their creative output because everyone deserves to be paid for their work.